Hello, and welcome to the fifth installment of Artists at Large, where we have conversations with the artists that color our world and fill our airwaves with creation. Today, coming to you live from the great state of Florida, we've got Eddie Mazanak.
Hey, Kareem, honored to be here. What up?
Nice. Coming through with the energy. As we're saying, though, from Florida, this now makes this an international podcast. We're stretching our arms around the world. This is just the first stop.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, straight from sunny Florida. It actually is sunny today, which is nice.
Right on. Has it been raining?
Dude, it's Florida. It rains on and off all the time.
Yes, and so, Eddie, as most of the artists on here so far, you are a multi-talented artist. Tell us what you like to do.
Well, first, I kind of want to say I'm pretty sure I'm your least talented artist on here.
Hey, man, but this is a no humble zone. We're not trying to be humble on this podcast. This is where we're going to big up everybody about least talented. I've seen your work. Don't give me that least talented business. Go on, tell us what you do, man.
Well, I guess first and foremost, I'm most known for my music. I've been in two or three bands already. My biggest one was probably Kobe Steaks, my latest band. We played a number of live shows all across, you know, the Brevard, where I'm from, and all the way to Orlando, a lot of Orlando. We were an emo indie punk band, I want to say. Okay. Probably the best way to describe it.
Good combination.
Yeah, a nice little combination. God, I don't even know what really compare us to. Probably the best would be maybe stuff like Prince Daddy and Hyena, stuff like that, getting kind of like a little bit bigger on the punk side. I left the band back in May. And they broke up soon afterwards, you know, couldn't survive without me, I guess.
Eddie was the glue of the band, clearly.
Now I'm moving away from music and going more towards art. I've been drawing a lot more. Oil pastels is my major, form of art that I've been doing.
Your medium?
My main medium, yeah, that's a good word to use. Other than that, I went to college for writing. I haven't done much with it. I wrote a comic book script in the past, which I never released. And currently, I'm writing a short film script.
Oh, right on, man. All right, let's get into the last thing you're talking about there, the comic script. Because that's something that, being in the inner circle as I am, I was passed along the copy of the script. I took a read of it. I must say, it's good work. It was a page-turner. Like, I'm really interested to see what happens to this. So, a little synopsis for the audience here. Actually, I'll let you give a synopsis.
Sure. I'll disclose, like, a little more of the plot line, too.
Yeah,
let's hear it. Since you only really got the first issue out of it. In this story, we see a young couple in a car accident. A lot of the comic goes from there to where they're in the hospital. The boyfriend is found dead, and the girlfriend is in critical condition. But the boyfriend is offered a deal with a demon. This demon lets him know that his girlfriend's soul, while she's in this catatonic state, has actually been split into 13 pieces, and he imbues him with demonic powers to be able to reclaim all pieces of her soul from 13 demons.
Okay, it's a little deal with the demon for power to, like, save his loved one. That type of story. And I think the there was a part in there where it was said her soul was split between a bunch of angels. And I thought it was a really cool line and concept that you don't hear often, that these omnipotent powers can actually have, I think your wording was slim, like morality is slim in the world of the omnipotent. It's like, dang, man.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting concept. I took a fancy approach for it, but little to know, the whole thing was actually symbolism for my struggle with alcohol a while back.
Really?
Yeah, so the relationship was based off my own real relationship, and then the demonic side of the main character, that was, you know, my drunken party side from when I was younger.
Okay.
So a lot of that was, you know, I have this one side of me, but I'm constantly battling this other side.
Does the number 13 relate to that in any way?
No, that goes more into just how, you know, 13 is that unlucky number.
Yeah, it's related to the occult.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then, so do you have illustrations for the comic?
I don't. I wasn't planning on illustrating it. I was working with an artist. His name was Anthony Navari.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah. We went to school with him.
Oh, yeah. He's been a great artist since we were like 9 years old.
Yeah, he's spectacular. The whole part of the reason the project was shelved is because, you know, Anthony went, he got married, he had a kid, he, you know, he's got his 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah, he took an arrow to the knee.
Yeah, he had, you know, he has priorities. If I ever want to pick up a project again, I might go and just draw it myself, honestly. Yeah. But, I mean, you've seen the, you know, my descriptions, what all the characters are going to look like.
Yes.
But it definitely was a passion project that I grew out of a little bit.
Okay.
It was very much related to my last relationship. And as I grew out of that person, so too did I grow out of that story.
Okay, so what I'm hearing there is actually speaking to common theme in art. Like, we're really just trying to express ourselves. And if the project is no longer needed, like, if you don't need to express those parts of your emotions, then some projects can just get cast on the wayside.
Yeah, exactly. I had spoken to a past friend about it, and he was trying to convince me just to power through and finish it off. But, you know, my heart wasn't anymore. There's other things I wanted to do, other projects that took precedence to me.
Yeah. And so where did you go after that with your art, with your creation, after the comic book script era of expression? What was next?
So the comic era was during college. I'm growing up, I've always wanted to be, you know, in the comic business. I've, you know, read comic books since I was a little kid. My cousin and my dad introduced them to me. So it's always been a main focus of my life. I remember, you know, from sixth grade all the way to high school, I would be writing stories or drawing characters. And that's what sparked me in college. I kept doing that. But along the way, my love for music kind of moved forward a bit more.
Yeah.
I took the band a bit more seriously. And then eventually last year, I actually dropped out of college and focused more on the band until I left them for personal reasons.
Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, I channel my emotions more into my writing, I want to say.
Yes.
Lyric-wise, I mean, you've heard some of my past songs. They're all about, you know, my struggles with my dad, relationships, my feelings, different feelings I've had, whether happy or sadder.
Yes.
And that was definitely a great channel for those.
Yeah, I agree. Music's an excellent medium for I like to think of music, like when you write a song, especially about true experiences, like your own true stories, I think of music as being able to package all of those emotions and memories into a neat little 3 minute and 30 second package. The emotions are encapsulated in the melody and in the rhythm structure, and you can express yourself in ways that the human language isn't prepared to do. It can be very cathartic.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure others can agree with me, but I feel like it's such a good outlet to have that. You know, it's better than keeping things bottled up. Personally, I've never been somebody that can just tell someone what's wrong with me. But okay, I can write it in a song, no problem, and it comes out fine.
Yeah.
And it's gotten me through tough times. I know it's gotten other artists through tough times as well.
You're looking at one. All the time. And like, I am someone that can easily express what's troubling me at any moment to like anyone. Like, I'm an open book in that way. But these songs can still help me in ways that your best friend can't, in ways that your loved ones cannot. And by nothing against the people in our lives, but it's just music's just a whole nother beast like that in the best way possible. And, you know, like I'm very thankful that I can express myself through music in the same way that you're talking about.
Yeah, in a way, I've always been kind of envious of your ability to use your songs to try to turn these torrid moments in your life into positive things, because your music is so uplifting. It's so great.
Thank you, dude.
I love it all the time. And then you can give this background of what the song is, and even if it's something tough for you, you can give it with a smile.
I can relate to it. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that analysis of course, music. Dude. Yeah, and I remember you tell me that, like, even though, like, this is a sad song, like, I can hear you smiling while you're singing it. Dude, like, if it's a sad song, try to, like, emote the sadness. But I can't help it. I can't help it. I've got, like, a permanent smile on. Yeah, so
change it. It's what makes you great.
Thank you, man. I won't change. I've been myself for so long, I don't even know if I could be anyone else at this point. So let's take it back to when you were in the band. Something that a lot of people want to do. You know, everyone wants to be a rock star. Like, tell us some cool rock star stories. Tell us some stories on the road or some shows. Let's hear something.
The coolest thing that's ever happened to us was probably our second to last show. We were playing at Uncle Lou's, which is a regular venue for us in Orlando. If anybody that knows it, it's a shithole. But it's a lot of fun to play. And we went through our entire set, and people loved it. It was such a fun experience, and we were asked to play an encore. And we've never been asked to play an encore before. But we were all out of songs.
Oh.
We played our entire discography.
Yeah.
The two guitarists were working on another song, and they're like, "Oh, let's whip it out." And I was like, "I've only seen this song once. I cannot do this, but fuck it, I'll try anyway." And I'm pretty sure I fucked up the whole song, but otherwise, you know, it was a lot of fun. Let me tell you, playing shows, you make a lot of friends. Other bands, you make a lot of friends with bands. I want to give a quick shout out to the Robinsons. We played multiple shows with them, and they're such cool guys. They offered to record us. We never took them up on the offer. I wish we did. Because they could have got us on Spotify and everything. But, you know, they were really nice guys. We would smoke with them after shows. You know, that happens a lot, too. You will always, like, find other guys that you can smoke with after shows.
Oh, yeah. It's
going to happen.
It's like the backstage experience.
Otherwise, like, I wasn't too into the live shows, which is why I left. I'm more of like a one-on-one kind of guy. I've never been for big groups.
Okay.
So for people to come up afterwards and like groups and want to talk to you, and you have to like sell yourself a lot as well.
I see.
So if you're a people person like you are, you know, you can do it. You'll be great at it. Personally, I'm more of the I'll record and put it up later kind
of
life.
You're more of the reclusive studio musician.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just want to get the music out there because it serves that purpose in your life. You know, you express yourself, you've got it just coming out of your pores, and then you want the music out there, but you don't want the attention.
I mean, and that's the downside. I'll say, if any artistic medium, you have to be able to sell yourself a bit. No matter, you know, if you're an artist, you got to get your art out there, you got to be able to have people show it. You gotta be able to talk to people. If you're reclusive, it's a little bit harder to sell yourself, especially nowadays with, you know, all the social media out there, everything. You have to like maximize your own product kind of
thing. Your brand. You have to be selling your brand, creating your brand, maintaining your brand. You know, you have to have the Instagram post every so often so people don't forget. You gotta be posting a story to like keep yourself out there, keep yourself fresh, keep people interested. Yeah, I definitely hear you, man. That is the modern world we live in.
Yeah, we all can't be Frank Ocean, who can just disappear for a couple years.
Oh yeah, shout
and
out to
still be
Frank.
on everybody's mind.
A big fan of Frank here on the Artist at Large podcast. He's an artist at large for sure.
Oh god, yeah. My boy pretty like a girl and I love it.
Oof. He sees both sides like Chanel. Okay, so then so after the music, you're saying now this stage in your life, you're more about the writing and drawing. And
yeah, so yeah. Right now I'm working on a short film script.
Okay, tell us about that.
I'll give you a little hint. It's about these two kids that sneak off to a party.
Classic.
And their dad ends up finding them.
Oof.
But they're on drugs, and their dad accidentally takes drugs.
As is
so
tradition.
You see this alternate side. Like, it flips between what's actually happening and what they think they're seeing.
Oh.
So that's my next project that I've been writing. I've been writing it for a couple of months now.
Did they drop acid or something? Like, what? Did they drop acid or something? What do they see?
How, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they dropped acid.
Oh,
and then
okay,
the dad
right
got
on.
Slipped acid.
Oh, the dad got slipped acid.
Yeah.
Classic. Oh, man. I like it. I want to be a fly on the wall in that film just to see what's going on.
Yeah, if I ever shoot it, I'll wait till you're in town.
Oh, what do you mean? One? What do you mean if you ever shoot it? Why are you writing if you're not going to shoot it, man?
You know, I can write, but I'm not a director, I'm not a filmmaker myself.
Yeah.
So I had to find a partner in this project.
True that. True that.
So, I mean, I'm always open to working with other people.
Collaboration is key.
Yeah, collaboration is great. I mean, I know in film there's so many different pieces. I mean, if you ever look at the end credits of a movie.
Definitely.
You know, both the cameraman, the guy that edits it, you know, the actors, everything. So
yeah.
It's such a big project, and especially like if I'm planning it to be a house party, that requires so many different actors.
True. Yeah. Probably got to get lighting good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lighting has to be great. I have to have the great set, the sets that I want and everything.
Uh-huh.
So that's why now, you know, it's just a script, and
yeah.
Hopefully I can send it somewhere.
Okay.
And bring it to people that will actually be able to make it real.
Ah, yes.
Until then, just in the back of my head.
Are you on Instagram?
I'm not, and I guess I think that's my biggest killer right now is I'm not on Instagram, especially with my art.
Yeah, man, if you're not in the marketplace, can't sell your goods.
Yeah, I know. Just like we were just saying.
Yeah, get a stall.
All
bro.
My work right now is on DeviantArt.
Yeah.
Not shout out DeviantArt. It's a weird ass place. There's a lot of weird things there.
Oh yeah.
But I googled where I could put my pictures other than Instagram, and that was the first thing that popped up.
Yes.
And I slightly regret it.
Oh yeah. Would you say things are getting a little hairy on DeviantArt?
It's just like, I mean, there's,
I'm
there's
making
like
a fur-
my work, which is like normal artwork.
I'm making a furry
and then
joke.
Like the fan fiction stuff.
I'm making a furry joke.
Ah.
It's getting a little hairy.
Right over my head.
r/whoosh.
Shout out to Reddit. I also post my art there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm on Reddit, and I'm also on Twitter as well. But Twitter is just me making dumb jokes to my, like, 17 followers.
Oh, yeah, nice. Well, I mean, those are 17 loyal followers, though. They're the real ones.
My day ones.
Yeah. Okay, and so, as you're saying now, that the writing, it's just in the back of your head. Have you started writing it, though? Like, do you write?
Yeah, so I've been writing it and editing it often.
Okay.
It's my project that, you know, in my free time, I'm either changing scenes in my head if I don't have a notebook with me, or if I have my notebook with me, I'm writing it down.
Yes.
Other than that, I'm enjoying a lot of my free time. I'm working on something I can't divulge too much because it's for somebody.
Oh.
Cute. Yeah. Before that, I did a couple oil pastels. I did a homage to Adam West with his old disco Batman look.
Yeah.
I've made the Bruce Timm Joker, a lot of animal pictures, and then, I've drawn you.
Yeah, I was right about to say, yeah, so For those who don't know, Eddie did, he had me recreate the Blonde album cover for Frank Ocean, and then he drew it, and it looks great. It looks great. And so another thing about the drawing now, I remember you were also trying to get into the tattoo game. Give us an update on that.
Yeah, so I've been trying to find a way to make my art, you know, my career. I figured tattooing was the way to go. So right now I'm really just looking at, you know, finding a place to move. I'm going to Orlando pretty soon, and then how long my apprenticeship would be. Cause, you know, I need a steady home, and then I need to make sure that my regular job is steady before I can do that. Cause a lot of them are unpaid.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was thinking about getting into graphic design. So I was considering going back to school. You know, just something to where I can turn my art into a career.
Mm-hmm. And so with the tattooing, do you still have the tattoo gun?
Yeah, I still have the gun. I actually just bought more fake skin, so I've been playing with that.
They have fake skin now?
Yeah, I was kind of against the idea because I heard it doesn't work too well. But I said, fuck it, I might as well because, you know, no one wants me to fucking tattoo them yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would have let you tattoo
including him. Myself.
You haven't done it on yourself yet?
No.
Man, dive in and get a shitty tat. Just do it. Everyone's got to start somewhere.
I was thinking about doing my knees, actually. I was, like, fighting the idea of doing it last night.
Yeah? Oh, last night, even. So I really struck a recent chord, then. Okay. What were you going to do on your knee?
I had some dumb line in my head. I want to say it was bony knees, but I'm not that big of a fan of Real Friends, so it probably wasn't that. Maybe it was bee's knees.
Bee's knees. Just like writing script?
Just yeah, and then putting text? A bee on there.
And putting a bee on there. Or what have you done on the fake skin?
So I've done a lot of the basic flash tattoo stuff. I've done like two lips kissing, I've done like little guns and hands and a lot of flowers. I really enjoy floral work. If you ever see my own tattoos, I'm covered in floral work. A lot of stuff like that. Little animals like turtles and bats and things like that. For my big projects, I haven't really done any of them with tattooing yet, but in my sketchbook, you'll see a lot of them. I've drawn an Americana-style background with the hula girl, the mountains, and ships and everything.
Sounds beautiful.
And then went over that with colored pencil. And I really want to tattoo that on somebody. That would be great.
Wow. And so when it comes to art, obviously it's about expression and whatnot. So like when you're drawing, what are some of the things that go through your mind and some of the things that you're feeling? And how would you relate it to other artistic endeavors?
With art, I paint a lot of realism, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's more of just what I see in everyday life that I find beautiful.
Okay.
So whether it be people in natural situations or animals, things like that, you'll see like a lot. I have a lot of dog pictures.
Yeah.
I just love dogs. I have a wall of Polaroid pictures, and I've been going through those and picking out my favorite ones and drawing them.
Oh, that's awesome. And so would you relate to the phrase, art imitates life?
I'd say so. I mean, definitely art and life go hand in hand. I mean, if like we were talking about earlier with emotions, I mean, my life influenced my art there, and now with my new art, I mean, it's all about things I see in the real world, but at the same time, our real world is shaped by art, like architecture and things like that. I was listening to something, and they're talking about how, imagine if buildings were made without artistic expression, things like that. If a world without artists
Yeah.
would just be so bland and just be, you know.
I think I might have seen the same thing that you're talking about. I think it was talking about, like, it was in the context of when people scoff at the idea of someone being an artist as their career. And if you think about it, if no one chose to do art as a career, like, what would our furniture look like? What would our houses look like? What would we have on our walls? What would we be listening to? We listen to music all day, every day. If someone didn't do that as their job, what would we be doing?
Exactly. I mean, it's even in the smallest things. If you look around your house, I'm sure you have some little piece of furniture. You know, I'm looking at a lamp right now that has an interesting shape. How would that look if no one had an artistic idea behind it?
Yeah, I'm looking at a lamp right now, and the lamp shade is a series of scribbles, like concentric circle scribbles going around. That's the pattern. You know, like my coffee table, it has a pattern. It's not just a basic wood top, right? Or even like TV. We don't really think about that much. The TV, movies, that's art. Someone is acting. Someone had a vision, and they put that on the screen for us to fill our day, distract us from the harsh realities of real life or the monotony of life.
Yeah, I mean, your buddy talked about that on your last podcast. Big fan, by the way. Been listening since day one.
Hey, the real fans.
And I mean, the... You know, I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. But, you know, art is so much out there in the world with it. I mean, I'm looking at my coffee table, and it's got these little door hangers on it to open the drawers. And they remind me of old-time knockers that you see on, like, old castles and stuff. If you walk around Orlando, there is so much art all over the place, whether it be graffiti on the walls.
Oh, yeah.
To, you know, statues around downtown, around UCF, around the park in Winter Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the world so much more beautiful.
It really does. Art is
whether embracing the nature around it or making something completely new.
Art is part of the human condition. Like, it's just natural to do it. Like, kids will draw, like, with a stick in the sand, given nothing else. You don't even have to teach them how to do it. They just try it out themselves. You know? Or, like, singing. Like, there's birds. They're singing. We can do it, too. And, like, it's just so good for us. And, like, socially, and it brings people together.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, what I was listening to where they're talking about art being all around us, they're talking about how some schools are so quick to shut down someone that wants to be an artist and say you should pick, you know, a more stable career, when really they should be saying, how can you turn this passion of yours into a career?
Yes.
If someone would have done that for me at a young age, I'm sure whatever path I would have picked would have led me to more successful means than I'm at now with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want to just work to live. You want to enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with art and, like, people trying to stifle it or people not believing in artists, I think that gives artists a little bit of an edge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have something to prove. We always have something to prove, like it or not, because there's always people that are going to be doubting you, scoffing at the idea, thinking it's foolishness. Oh, like, why would you spend these many hours out of your week working on these songs? Like, why don't you, like, you know? How many times have people heard that? I've heard that myself.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you hear a lot when it comes to music, especially, you know, my parents would say to me, teachers would say, you know, it's a lot of, you know, you should be finding yourself something stable. You know, what else are you good at? Can you do math? Can you be able to do math? And I mean, yeah, that stuff's all important. But at the same time, I mean, if I can do the geometry and I can make something pretty, I could be a great architect.
Yes, 100%. And
not everything has to be rectangles.
Yeah. And even when it comes to music, like, even if, like, you're not trying to be an artist as a full-time job, I still think people would benefit so much more from making art a regular part of their lives. Mm-hmm. People, like, say someone finds out you can draw, someone finds out you can play an instrument, someone finds out that you write, like, you're working on this creative project, people get all wide-eyed and mysticized about it. But it shouldn't be so rare. It shouldn't be so impressive. Everyone should be able to do it.
Yeah, even if it's something you don't make a career of, it's always good to have an artistic outlet. You know, if you are having a rough day, try painting. It can really calm you down.
Right? People go to sip and paints and drink a little bit of wine and do a guided art piece. They feel great. They have the time of their lives. That's a big business.
And you come out with something you made that you feel good about, too.
And you made it with your friends, all the memories and stuff. You could have that as part of your life. Speaking of which, one time in university, me and my friends, we were so broke. So broke. We didn't have money to, like, get presents and whatnot for each other. So we went on a little trip to the dollar store. We got a bunch of canvases and basic acrylic paints and, like, mugs and stuff. And we just painted a bunch of stuff for each other. One of the cool ones I did was, like, shout out to the song Dear Maria, Count Me In. I had a friend named Maria, and I put tape on the canvas for it to say Dear Maria, and then I just, like, painted it all black and, like, threw, like, paint splatters of various colors all throughout it at random, and then I peeled the tape off. Perfect stencil. It says Dear Maria, and, like, whenever we worked together, like, the song Dear Maria, Count Me In would get stuck in my head just because, like, that's her name, Maria, and so, like, that was, like, our inside joke together at work. And so, that's, you know, like,
dude, that's beautiful.
Creates a beautiful moment between friends that, you know how much it costs? $5.
Exactly. I mean, some of my favorite nights are buying cheap beer with my best friend and old guitarist, Chris, and we would just sit around the couch playing acoustic guitar, writing our own songs, and just bouncing ideas off each other.
Yeah.
It costs, you know, a 12-pack, and that's it.
Right? And it's such a beautiful thing to just have art as part of your daily experience, because, again, when you say, like, making your own songs, I once heard a really good quote about songwriting that said, it's like, creativity is like a muscle, like any other. If you exercise it, you'll get better. But if you write every day, you can write 99 shitty songs. And then one day, you have one really good idea, and it comes out to be a good song. And then no one else has to hear the other 99 songs. You can just share the one good one. The same thing can go for drawing, writing prompts, like, you name it. You can create a whole mountain of shit. And you get that one diamond, and you're good.
It's just, I mean, about that's the process. Why the world has one-hit wonders and things like that.
Oh, shit, true?
But, I mean, I didn't want to mention this because I didn't want to step on your toes, but I actually started my own podcast.
Oh, yeah?
With my friend Chris. And in that first episode, I actually mentioned how artists have their entire lives to write that first album. And that's why it can be so out there and so different.
Oh,
and
that's
then
interesting.
They have those time constraints for the second album, third album, things like that. I think my favorite thing I ever heard was, artists, they wrote this first album, they released it, and then you hear from a couple of years, and they're like, yeah, we just, like, went to a cabin and we just started writing all this other stuff. You hear about it all the time. You saw in the new Queen movie, things like that. That's why when I see things like people shitting on artists because their second album is as good as the first, you gotta stop and consider, like, they spent all this time making that first album, and now they have this record label that's saying, you gotta put out a second album, you gotta do something here. Sometimes they don't have that freedom to just go lock themselves in a cabin and write that second album.
Wow, that's such a good point. I've never heard about that. Not that I've never heard that concept, never heard it phrased that way before, that you have your whole life to create your first album. No expectations are on you. There's no identity that you're trying to, like, hold on to and recreate.
Exactly. You see artists all, I mean, I do it sometimes. I'm like, this band has changed so much in this album. But I gotta stop and internalize that, you know, it's been years since their first album. And at the same time, you know, they had, you know, 2 or 3 years to put this new album together. and just the sound that came out in that song in that short time.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, they had, since they became a band, to write that first album,
mm-hmm.
to have that first piece of music that they released.
And it's really cool, too, to think that, like, the types of musical elements that you want to put out there in your first album and whatnot, and, like, the things you're, the experiences you're going through, like, those types of things that are important to you and you want to write about those things, they came out in the first album, and then say you got some type of success, and you're living a total different life now. Why would you be writing the exact same styles and the exact same types of experiences? Your life is going to be different. Your art is going to reflect your new experience.
Yeah, exactly. And you have, you watch a band grow up over time.
Yeah.
Bands I've started listening to, you know, back in 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, those guys were like my age now, or maybe a little bit younger, so they're in a whole different place now.
Yeah.
You know, you had American Football release their first LP, and it's this beautiful math rock album, and these guys were all just college kids. They disappeared for a couple of years. You know, the front man went and did his own acoustic stuff. And now back in, like, I think it was maybe 2016, they released LP2, and now they're releasing LP3. And they sound so different. Not in a bad way, but in a way that you can see how they matured as artists.
Mm-hmm.
Or where they're at now.
Yeah.
Their newest one, with the singles I've heard, it's definitely, like, you can tell from their music that they're all dads now, that they're all, you know, adults with their own kids.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just a more mature sound. They know where they're at in life. They know who they are.
Right.
They're not all over the place like they were their first album.
And the thing, too, with artists is that, like, a lot of people get hung up on, like, oh, man, it's not like the first album and whatnot. Like, they don't, they're not, even though they are writing it for the fans and whatnot, ultimately it's for themselves, for their own expression. They don't owe us the same body of work twice. They don't owe it to us to, like, satisfy our, like, desire to hear the same thing again.
Exactly. Some of the best music that I relate to may have been from situations that they were in.
Yeah.
And it's because you experience some of the same things no matter in your age groups. So maybe I just don't understand this newer album because I'm not in that age group yet. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. That relates to me when it comes to reading Harry Potter. I loved Harry Potter as a teenager. And I don't think it would have the same effect now because I'm not going through those angsty teenage experiences. And like when I read the sixth book, they were like 16, 17 in that book, in The Half-Blood Prince. And I was probably like 14, 15 years old. I was entering that stage of life. And so it was really great to have these characters that I could relate to like that. But now I'm so far beyond those like first love type of experiences, those like growing and changing teenage friendship experiences. But it was great at the time. It was what I needed at the time. And so these artists, they could be writing now that they're 30-year-old dads, that shout out to the 30-year-old dads who need to hear these songs and, like, it'll brighten up their day. Like, yeah, these guys really spoke to my heart today and make your experience just better that day. You hear those, man, go on and on.
Like, it's not even just music either. Yeah. It's TV and movies and things like that too. I mean, as a kid, I could never get into Seinfeld. I did not find it funny. Or even, like, King of the Hill and things like that. Yeah. Now, I relate. I can watch it, and I understand it, and I find it so funny. It's the most humorous thing to me.
Yeah.
It's not that easy slapstick comedy that I loved as a kid. It's that more introspective, like, yeah, I can relate to that. That's something I thought, but I never said out loud type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
That you now can appreciate as an adult because you go through similar struggles.
Yeah. Well, what kind of struggles you see on Seinfeld that you're relating to, man? Are you having some George Costanza moments or what?
I never want to make it to George Costanza. Don't want to be the guy that can be okay when his wife passes away and then God, that show got dark. But things like...
oh my god!
Like there was an episode where he changed his answering machine to like a song, and he was so happy with himself for it, and just like little menial things like that. I could, I guess, more modern day versions. I can make a meme that I can relate to.
Yeah,
and I'm so proud of myself. Like this is clever and funny, and it's just so small, and everybody's like, oh man, this is relatable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I made this little project.
Shout out to the memes. Yeah, I love making memes on Meme Generator. Like, if someone tells me something, I think, oh shit, there's a meme that would work for that. I just hop on Meme Generator real quick, make the meme, and send it right back to them.
I've been making all my memes on Snapchat. I just, you know, I love the little cut feature they have.
Oh yeah?
That's how I made your original Cream is Frank Ocean.
Nice. I didn't even notice that. Dude, nice. I thought you did it on, like, Photoshop or something.
I can do a little bit of Photoshop, which is why I was even doing graphic design.
Yeah.
But, it's just so much easier to take 5 seconds and cut you out a picture and put you in another picture on Snapchat.
Shout out to the power of smartphones these days.
Oh, God, yeah. Modern technology, dude.
So, memes as art. We're getting to a good point here. So, memes as art. Fuck. I got a fucking tattoo on my leg of a frog.
Oh, your little frog tattoo?
It's actually inspired by the Dat Boy meme.
And oh, shit.
Yeah, oh, shit, what up? And one of my friends told me, he's like, Kareem, you got a meme as a tattoo. You're going to regret that. And I said, nah, man. If you think I'm going to regret that, you don't know me. Because memes are life, for one. Two, I'll express myself. I'm not going to get bored or, like, regret my own expression. And even if I do regret having a meme-related tattoo on my body, that's a meme in and of itself.
I mean, I will say I do regret one of my tattoos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the squirrel reaching up I have in my thigh.
Oh, yeah? What's it reaching for? Yeah.
Dude, it's reaching for the freaking nuts, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Squirrels are often seen reaching for some nuts, okay.
Yeah, it was funny. It's still kind of funny, but at the same time, it messed up my color scheme, my tattoos, and, you know what I mean? It's not that funny.
That's, like, a really, like, wholesome artistic outlook at the tattoo. Like, this tattoo, I regret it because it doesn't work with my color scheme. Do the browns clash with the alabaster tones of the inner thigh?
All my other tattoos are black, and I have touches of red in some of them.
Yeah.
And now I have one that's just, like, straight up brown and white.
Yeah, stone it off.
But, back to the memes, I guess. Dude, I love making memes. If you ever check out my Reddit, it's, like, 90% memes. Nice. Mostly Starbucks memes. If you work in the Bucks, you might appreciate.
Oh yeah, the cult of the siren. We've got
the cult
own,
of the freaking siren,
we've
dude.
We've got our own subculture for sure.
Dude, we have our own subreddit.
Oh really?
Yeah, check that out. All of them.
Speaking of your Reddit, do you have social media that you want to plug for the audience?
Yeah, sure. So, check out my Twitter. At Emosinak, that's Emosinak. I definitely need followers. I will start posting my art. And then...
Your Reddit. What's your Reddit?
My Reddit is Emozi. I think it's Emozi515. And then it's the same thing for my Snapchat. That one's also Emozi515. If you want to follow me there, I'll be posting links to my own podcast, my art, and different things like that across those three.
Okay, and then how about your drawings? Like, do you have a, like, what, the Deviant Art?
So that one is Eddie is Drawing, and that is also my Gmail. If anybody has any suggestions for me, I might start sending out personal projects to people.
Awesome. And I'm going to have all of those in the description below on the SoundCloud,
much appreciated.
Instagram, and on the Facebook page for Artists at Large. So there we have it. Eddie, thanks so much for being a guest on the show.
Cream, real honor. Hit me up sometime, boy.
Always, always.
And I'll see you next time you come back to the US of A.
Darn right. Okay, this has been Artists at Large.